Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my friends used to say to me, Lutherans need to learn the lesson that if you want to ensure that people come to something, you have to offer free food. True, a free barbecue always draws a crowd. Bratwurst for October Reformation services, a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, cookies and cider for Christmas. I think the Scandinavians have it wrong. Lutefisk isn't going to cut it. Free food always draws a crowd. It never fails. If you want people to come out in droves, offer free food. They'll flock to it every time. There's nothing better than bread you don't work for. No sweat of the brow involved here. All you can eat bread and fish from Jesus was such a deal. So wonderful. The crowds flocked to Jesus after that. They even chased him in boats, free food. They couldn't resist it. He'll provide. We elect politicians on the promise, if you remember historically, a chicken in every pot. Oh, well, he's the one we want. Money to pour out on all of you. Imagine it. To end the world of hunger and all welfare programs. No one goes hungry if Jesus doles out bread and fish. It just keeps multiplying endlessly. We don't need to have any of these programs. Jesus will take care of it all. Oh, they chased after him. No more food banks, no more food stamps, no more work. Give us this day our daily bread, and poof, there it is. Wonderful. Wow. Bread is the food of affliction, if you remember the story of Genesis. The original diet, remember, fruits and nuts. Life in its earliest form, no death there. When they eat fruits and nuts, no trees are harmed, and even the seeds get scattered, don't they, and grow new ones. Bread is another story. Bread, God says, involves sweat. Sweat for the farmer who has to plant and harvest. Sweat for the miller who grinds the grain. Sweat for the baker who kneads the dough. There's sweat every single step of the way. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat your bread until you return to the ground. For dust you are, and the dust to you will return. And so the farmer sweats, the miller sweats, the baker sweats. Along with the eater, they work to their death. Bread is work. Bread you labor for, fruits and nuts, that's grace. That's gift. It just grows. The people saw Jesus as a bread machine, a free source of food. And Jesus sees right through it all and cuts to the heart. They come to him and he says, "You're chasing after me not because you saw signs, but because your bellies are full of bread." They didn't catch the significance. They just stuffed their faces with free food and thought, that's grand. And isn't that often the case? You remember the food, but not the occasion. When you have a party and somebody serves something really nice. Oh, I remember I was at their house. They served bratwurst. Maybe not. The people all saw Jesus as a meal ticket, a means to free food. Who needs to work when bread and fish can be multiplied on demand with leftovers? Do not labor for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. It's an interesting statement. Our food is dead food, or on the way to perishing. It's why we need refrigerators and we need preservatives. Our food is dead and decaying. Our bread on the counter, well, it dries out pretty fast. And if it's in a bag, it's not too long before that green stuff starts to grow on it. Even the manna, the bread the Israelites collected in the wilderness, went bad if it was there too long. Couldn't be stored, only enough for the day. It may not have been wonder bread from heaven, but it was still subject to decay. It didn't endure to eternal life. It was only for the now. The bread we eat is for this life, not the life to come. And while it may build strong bodies, it won't lengthen your life or bring you eternal life. Matter of fact, most people would say, bread's not real good for you. don't eat so much. And yet, that's the bread that we literally burn ourselves out working for, isn't it? Temporal bread. Bread for our bellies. Bread that does not last. Bread that is gone. The minute an economic downturn, we see the numbers. We even call money bread, don't we? As the numbers click away and we say, ugh, what happened to everything that I sweat so hard for? Bread that we continually hunger for until we can eat no more. That's tough. Bread that fills us in one moment but leaves us hungry the next. You have a nice breakfast and it's not too long before the belly starts saying, I'd like a little more. We'll trade off anything for this kind of bread. Trade off church for work, even when it's not necessary. In Hutchinson, it was the 3M plant. Well, I got to skip church and work. They pay us double overtime when we work on a Sunday. It justified the act. The old Adam in us will push aside the Lord's bread for the world's buffet any day of the week. The prophet Isaiah cries out, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. You want riches? Hear the word of the Lord. You want a bread that satisfies? Take, eat. This is my body given for you. And there's the problem. The food that we eat is dead, and we eat a lot of it to our death. We expend our lives chasing after bread that spoils and food that can't save. There's always promises out there that this new diet will give you extra life, this next superfood or microgreen that if you eat will give you all kinds of wonderful health, this fountain of youth, the new pill that is vegetables and fruit that's going to make all your pains go away. Oh, it's always there providing us with perhaps some carbs and minerals. But spiritually, what does all this stuff do for us? Nothing. That's asking an awful lot of bread, or any food for that matter. The bread God gives is another matter. The manna was a pitcher, a type, but only a type. Like other bread, it went bad after a day, and the eaters still died in the wilderness, didn't they? But the manna provided a pattern or a picture of the true bread, the Son of God who gives us himself. It isn't a bread you work for, but bread that is given as a gift. It isn't bread that fills your temporal hunger pangs, but a bread that goes straight to your soul, a bread that will raise you up on the last day. This is bread that God alone gives. No man on earth can bake it. What must we do to be doing the works of God? They asked Jesus in the text. Notice the answer. The work, singular, of God, that means God does it, is this, that you believe in him who he has sent. Faith is God's work. Faith is not our work, but God does it best for us. Salvation is God's work. Forgiveness is God's work. Justifying sinners is God's work. And we saw it just this morning, didn't we? God claiming this child to be his own, to give his Holy Spirit and grant faith. This is the work of God. It may not be as impressive as a bunch of manna showing up on the floor, but it's the bread that satisfies far deeper. Without faith, you can't eat the bread of life. Without faith, well, you can study the Bible, know the scriptures backwards and forwards, talk about what great literature it is or what poor literature it is. You can parse verbs and nouns, adjectives, but without faith, the scripture is missing the for you that makes it the most important. This for you, the words that require hearts to believe, to trust this bread which comes down from heaven, this word that is living and active and gives you life. It all requires this faith which he gives. Without faith, you can eat and drink bread and wine that is the body and blood of Christ, but you'll miss the for you. Faith receives. It withdraws. It digests the gifts of Christ. No faith is like no digestive system. You can eat food, but what good will it do you? Think about what bread is. Baked grain, seed, the concentration of energies and vitalities of life. It's the soil. It's the sun. It's all concentrated in that seed to nourish you. The seed ground up into flour, kneaded into dough, baked in the fire. When you eat bread, it gives you all these energies. It's an important thing, bread. Now think about the promised seed, the kernel of wheat from the hand of the divine sower who sprouted on Israelite soil in the womb of a virgin, who was ground to death and baked in the oven of God's wrath for sin and death in the fire of his passion. He is the concentration of God's love, of God's mercy to sinners. He is the food to eternity, the bread of life, the living bread which comes down from heaven. He is the true manna in the wilderness, bread that the Father gives that cost him but not us. All is in him, and he gives us his life. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The feeding of the 5,000 with bread multiplied beyond measure was just a foretaste of something far greater to come, a picture of what Jesus was up to, a sneak preview of the coming attraction of what his death and resurrection would provide. The deep hunger that you feel in this life is constantly chasing after the wind, which we all have from the garden and on, looking for that thing that will satisfy, that one new thing that will give you purpose in life, that one thing that will satisfy. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy. The deep thirst of our soul leaves us restless for something more, and the world can never quench it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, we hear from Jesus in the sermon. They will be satisfied. Come to Jesus, the bread of life. Eat and drink of him by faith in his word. Hear his word. He forgives you. Eat and drink the bread and the body, the wine and the blood, the gifts of the cross poured out for you. He won't leave you hungry anymore. He won't leave you thirsty. Trust him. He is the true food. The deepest longings of your soul will find strength and nourishment and refreshment. Where? In Jesus. In his name. Amen.